Revelation chapter number 6, chapter 6 of the Revelation. You know, as I was stating, when you hear the request, and there were many, it just serves as a reminder to us that we just live in a fallen world. You know, we just live in a sin-cursed, depraved world. These old bodies are wearing out. A lot of requests for physical needs, and it's just a testament that these bodies are failing us. I'm glad I'm going to a land where I'm going to get a new body, and we'll never know what it is to have pain again. No sorrow, no separation. Never have to say goodbye to a loved one again. It's just a wonderful thing to be a Christian. What a blessed hope we have. You know? There's a section in Revelation chapter number 6 that I'm not going to elaborate on it too much, but the saints, and they're tribulation saints, they're those who were martyred. They asked the Lord, how long? You know? When are you going to vindicate? When are you going to answer some things? And one day, God's going to answer some things. He is. I think all of us have questions. I can't guarantee you that God's going to answer all your questions. I can't guarantee that. But I can guarantee this. If you're saved in the grace of God, there's a better day coming. And there's a lot of things that we deal with, some day to day. You know, we don't know what folks go through. And I'm just thankful that one day that we'll lay these old burdens aside forever. Forever. And as much as I count it a privilege, really, to be able to share prayer requests with church family, one day we'll never receive another prayer request. And so all right, Revelation chapter number 6. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. And I'm going to read the sixth chapter. You follow along. We're going to get into chapter 7, but I want to read through chapter 6 to set up what we're going to talk about. I'll give you three words, and I hope you'll write them down. I'm going to try to build some truth around three words. There'll be other words that will be given, but three main words that I see when I read Revelation chapter number 6 and get over into chapter 7. The first word, you think about it, I'll get you to write it down when we sit down, but reckoning. Let's read about the reckoning. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. Judgment's coming. There's a day of reckoning coming, brethren. And what a day that's going to be. The great day of His wrath. That's what the Scripture says. So there's a day of reckoning. What's going to happen in that day of reckoning? He said, well, one of the four beasts, they said, come and see. And I saw, behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given unto him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And behold, lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand, and heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and 3 measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And when he had opened the 4th seal, I heard the voice of the 4th beast saying, Come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the 4th part of the earth to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth. Now that's the 4 seals that have a reckoning. And now there's going to be the next 2 seals is going to tell us the response to the things that have just happened. Let's see the first response, verse 9. And when he had opened the 5th seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said of them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. And I beheld when he had opened the 6th seal, and here's the 2nd response, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she was shaken and of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said unto the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? We'll end our reading there, and we'll get into the 3rd word. Tonight, but I do want to do a little review on these, and then we'll get into that 3rd word, which is revival. It's amazing to me that God is going to give a revival in the midst of all of this. It's just amazing. But God is gracious, and God is patient, and God is long-suffering, and I'm glad that He is. Father, we thank You for Your Word. God, I pray that You would help me to give to Your people something that would challenge their hearts and awaken our hearts and encourage our hearts, strengthen our hearts, turn our hearts towards You. That's what we need. And so, Father, I pray that You would just turn our hearts unto You. And I pray that as we turn our hearts towards You, that we would trust You with all of our heart. God, help us to do that. In these days in which we live, and in these times that are approaching, I pray that our hearts would be wholly turned unto Thee, in Jesus' name, amen. And amen, you can be seated. I just want to take a few moments. I had some questions I was going to ask, but I'm not going to do that tonight. I just want to get into the message. We know that chapter 6 begins the tribulation period here on this earth. We've moved from heaven in chapter 4 and 5 to the earth, and the tribulation period begins, and immediately there begins to be some things to happen, one right after the other. These 4 horsemen that are presented unto us upon the opening of each seal, and as I said, I look at this and I just see this as a time of reckoning. It's a time where, well, God is going to hold the earth and the inhabitants of it accountable. God holds all of us accountable. And God's going to hold these people accountable. These people, and we're going to see in just a moment, not even the judgment of God will turn the heart of man. You know, sometimes we think that the judgment of God will turn the heart of man. Brethren, can I tell you, if the love of God doesn't turn the heart of man, what will? If the grace of God does not turn the heart of man, and we think, well, you know what, if God brings judgment, it'll turn the heart of man. Can I tell you, man will become increasingly more callous to the things of God. Man hates God. And we don't like to make that statement, but I want to tell you something, brethren. Man hates God's program. I could go down through the annals of history and discuss with you how that man has turned, listen, they have turned their wrath toward God's people, nationally speaking, Israel. All through the annals of history, they have spewed out hatred and violence toward God's people nationally. And then God sent His Son, and they spewed out their hatred and their violence toward His Son. And then God sent His Holy Spirit to call out the church. And since then, they have done nothing but spew out their violence and their hatred to the church of God, to the people of God, to the Word of God. Can I tell you that man hates God? Man is at enmity with God. Just like you were an hour before we, by grace, received salvation. And we have been renewed. We have been transformed by the renewing of our mind. We no longer hate God. Now we love Him. Amen. Amen. Man hates God. He's against God. He's against God's way. If you mention God in a general sense, now listen to me. You want to find out how much man hates God? I don't know if you do or not. You just have to really take a fresh look at Calvary. When you really look at Calvary, you see the hatred of man for God. It's dark. Man is dark. Mankind hates God. You want to find out how much mankind hates God? Don't mention God. You get in a public arena and you mention Jesus and you say He's the only way to heaven, and you're going to have venom spewed at you. All right? When you say that there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, men will hate you. They will curse you. They will call you all manner of evil names and persecute you. Now, as long as you mention God in a general sense, as long as you mention a tolerant God, a God who is tolerant of sin and who embraces the sinful and the sinful lifestyles of men, then God's okay. But when you mention the God of the Bible, when you mention the God of holiness, of righteousness, of judgment, when we mention the name of Jesus and we say that there is no other way, that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man cometh unto the Father but by Him, men will hate you. Listen, they will scorn you. They will persecute you and curse you. They do not want to hear that name, the name of Jesus. It is a hated name. And therefore, when we are called by that name and when we stand up and we say, unashamedly, I am a Christian, the world system will hate you. Listen to me. There's a system, and it is the system of Antichrist. And it hates Jesus Christ. And it hates Christians. And it hates the Bible. It hates the Word of God. It hates the ways of God. Wait, the sooner you get that and you reconcile in your mind that is so, the better off you'll be able to understand the way things are the way they are in this whole world that we live in. Now, we don't hate them. We're to love them. Is that right? We're to love them. You see, I was them before Jesus saved me. I was in that crowd. I didn't want to hear that name. I didn't want to hear about that way. I mocked Christians. I mocked people who were holy before Jesus saved me. And so we don't hate them. We pray for them. And the sooner you understand that, the better you'll be able to be a witness to them. And so we find here that there's these horsemen. What's going to happen? Well, the first horseman is going to be the Antichrist. I believe that. Listen, I believe that. This one on the white horse in verse number 2 that comes with a bow, no arrow, a crown was given. I want you to write down this word. We're talking about reckoning. Conquer. I believe that's what's going to happen. The Antichrist is going to come on the scene. He's going to conquer. According to the book of Daniel, he's going to sign a peace treaty with Israel. There's going to be peace. You know, that's what the world is clamoring for. Peace. Right? And safety. At any cost. Right? Sell your soul, they say, for peace. That's what the world's clamoring for. Peace. Give us your guns. Right? I mean, you know, just unarm, disarm yourself. Accept everybody. Accept everything in the name of peace. No, I am not going to accept everybody. I am not going to accept everything in the name of peace. I will love everybody by the grace of God. Amen. But I'm not going to accept their lifestyle, their sinful lifestyle. Amen. And so they say, well, you're intolerable. You're a bigot. And they have all of the names now. And so here comes this man. And he's coming and he makes a peace treaty. And he makes peace. And the Bible says that that's what's going to happen. Read Daniel chapter 8, Daniel chapter 9, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, brethren. It's going to happen. We're headed that way. If you can't see what's going on in our world around us, you're not watching. This is all coming to fruition. It's all forming. The storm is on the horizon. This world is clamoring for peace. And then the scripture says, in the day of reckoning, verse number 3, when he opened the second seal, we're talking about these seven seals now. We're going to undo six of them, and then we're going to look at something that happens because God is merciful before he opens the seventh one. But in verse number 3, it says, the second beast said, and there went out another horse, and this was the second seal. And this horse was red, and we talked about this. There's war. Notice what happens. Power was given in verse number 4. Power was given unto him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth. He initiated it, but now he's going to take it. Now, what's going to happen? What is the difference? What separates the tribulation from the great tribulation? You can find it. The scripture is very clear on it, okay? The scripture is very clear. Jesus taught it in Matthew 24. Daniel talked about it in Daniel chapter 9. There's going to be the abomination of desolation. There's going to be a breaking of the peace treaty, all right? And the protector of Israel, the Antichrist, he's going to protect them. That's why they're going to receive him as the false Messiah. The protector of Israel is going to become the persecutor of Israel. The scripture is very clear. And so he makes peace, and then there's war. And the Bible says that this war is going to take peace from all the earth. And I think that is just, it's going to be world war. It's not going to be just a war in an area. It's not going to be in Afghanistan or just in pockets. There's always going to be wars and rumors of wars. Jesus said there would always be. But this is going to be world war. Notice what the scripture says here. It said, not only is he going to take peace from the earth, he said, but that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. He's going to pit nation against nation, and he's going to rule. And we're going to see what's going to happen when you get an evil ruler. All right? Notice what the scripture says in the third seal. The third seal was opened, and the third beast said, come and see, and I beheld in a black horse. And him that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. This is famine and economic collapse. And so if the first horse, if I had a word, I would say conquer. If I had a word for the second, I would say conflict. Then this third horse, I would say consumption. Notice what it says. It says a pair of balances, and it talks about a measure of wheat in verse number 6 for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see not that thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Now, some people said that's for medicinal purposes and for helping, and it very well could be. I don't know. I don't know. I know this. I know that we live in a world that is drunk. Everybody's got to get drunk. Anyone that claims to be a Christian that has any spiritual insight whatsoever and says it's okay to drink, you are very badly deceived. Amen. That stuff is of the devil. Don't deceive yourself. Proverbs 20 verse 1 says, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Read Proverbs 23. Maybe what God is saying here is, maybe. You want wine? I'll give you wine. Can I tell you that drunkenness don't solve any problems? It creates them. Amen. And so, what do I see when I read verses, this black horse, this third seal? What's going on here? Famine. Famine. Notice what the scripture says. It says it's a controlled famine, though. It's not just famine, it's a controlled famine. You say, controlled famine? Yeah. Yeah, through the history of man, there's been controlled famines. 7 years of plenty, 7 years of poverty. What's going to happen? Can I tell you who controls the food, controls the world? Look at, again, what it says here. It says, a measure of wheat for a penny, 3 measures of barley for a penny. In other words, when you study those that have broke this down and you get into the time in which this was written and what it's saying that there's going to be someone holding the balances. See, if I believe that the Antichrist is a real person, and I do, then this person holding the balances, then I've got to understand this is a personage. This is somebody that's going to be in control. It's going to hold the balances. It's going to tell you how much you can have and how much you can buy. That's exactly right. It's going to control your buying and spending. Does that sound familiar? Hold your place here and turn over to chapter 13 just for a moment, and we'll see how this is going to turn out. Famine and economic collapse have often followed wars. As a matter of fact, our country's gone in trillions of dollars of debt helping countries build back. Do the research. Look at chapter 13 and notice what the scripture says here in verse number 16 of chapter 13. This chapter 13 is an elaboration on the Antichrist and false prophet, the beast. And verse number 16 says this, and he causeth. You see that? He causeth. It's controlled. He causeth. He's in control of it. He decides what you're going to get, how much you're going to get. It's a rationing. That's what chapter 6 is teaching. It's teaching a rationing. That's food for a day for one person. Every Bible commentator that I trust, that look into the scripture with honesty and with depth, says the same thing about that in Revelation 6. A measure. Food for one for a day. You say, well, I can eat one meal a day and still make it. But what if you have a family of four? Notice what the scripture says. I can't tell you how many people's told me, and listen, this I understand it's in ignorance and deception. Well, you know, I'm not going to receive the mark. I'm not going to take that mark. Well, if you get food for one and you got a family of five for a very long time, you've got some very important decisions to make. And the Bible says here in chapter 13 and verse number 6, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand and in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, I'm just telling you what the Word of God says, brethren. I'm not going to end on a note like this. But I want you to know, not everything is peaches and cream. Not everything is you know, tulips and wildflower. Listen, there's hard places in life. This world is headed on a collision course with calamity. And the scriptures, we go back to chapter 6, says that after there's peace, and after people finally get what they've been clamoring for and crying for, okay, we finally got it, we've got our peace, we've got our man, we've made our peace treaty. I believe that the world, listen, I just do, I believe it's going to be disarmed. I believe that's why it says that in verse number 2 that he has a bow, but there's no arrow. There's no need. Listen, that's what they're after. Listen to me now. They're after this. Got to disarm the people before any world ruler takes authority. He disarms the people. That's right. So I don't like guns. Well, I'm not much of a gunman myself. I have a couple. Brother Dan's given me a couple. I appreciate it too. I'll be like old Winsome Sears. How many of you know who our lieutenant governor is? She says somebody breaks in, she's going to pray for them and then shoot them. Why, she's waiting on the police to come. Hey, man, she is a former, well, she's a Marine. There's no such thing as a former Marine. I learned that too. All right, let's get back to this. So, what do we have here? Revelation chapter 6. We have a day of reckoning. Don't miss this, okay? Now, there's a lot could be said in verse number 5 and 6. We thought when, and I'm not trying to be funny, though it is kind of comical, we thought back when COVID hit and we couldn't get toilet tissue, we thought the world had come to an end. I mean, there were people saying, you know, hey, I seen a couple of packages of toilet tissue over at Walmart. You know, people running over there, I mean, going crazy over toilet tissue. I'm going to tell you some things, and I'm not trying to be, listen, I'm not trying to be inappropriate here. Some things you can do without, but some things you can't. Now, some things you'd rather not do without. Some things you can, but some things you can't. And when you start talking about a man's food, you listening? That's not toilet paper. And so this is very real. This is just as much the Word of God as John chapter 3, as Isaiah chapter 53, as Psalm 23. This is going to happen. Okay? Just like Isaiah 53 happened, Revelation 6 is going to happen. I don't even know how to feel about it sometimes. I'm going to show you how God feels about it here in just a moment. So, the scripture says that after these things happened, in verse number 8, it says, I looked and behold a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death. This is the fourth seal being opened, and hell followed with him. We live in a world where folks say, well, you know what, I die, and it's it. It's over. No, it's not. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Right here, death has someone following him. Hell. Why? Because death is not the end. It's the end of one thing, but it's the beginning of another. And so this pale horse, this rider, was death, and hell followed him, and power was given unto them over a fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth. You know, I read after a good commentator this past week who said these beasts of the earth, when you began to look at some of the root of that word and you began to look at some of the words, the plagues of Egypt, that a lot of those have the same root. And so, you know, it very well could be that God is going to send plagues through beast, just like he did in the days of Egypt. I don't know. I just know what the Bible says. And the Bible says that it's not going to be pretty. That it's going to be a terrible time. And it's going to happen here on this earth. And America is not going to be exempt. And so we need to quit playing church. And if you've got any loved ones, I'm telling you, you need to start fasting and praying. Because time is short, brethren. I don't know when Jesus is coming. I wouldn't sit under a man that gave me a date when he was coming. I wouldn't do it. I'd quit listening to somebody. If I listened to a preacher and he started naming dates when Jesus was coming, I'd quit listening to him. Because the Bible says if a prophet prophesies something and doesn't come to pass, he's a liar. And so here we have these first four seals. And it's just catastrophic, brethren. It's just terrible. It's the Antichrist, and it's war, and it's famine, and it's pestilence. When you read Matthew 24, this lines up perfectly with the sermon that Jesus preached on the Mount Olivet Discourse. It perfectly aligns with what Jesus said the end days were going to bring. This section of Scripture right here. Now what happens? For a brief moment, notice what happens. The Scripture says in verse number 9, when he opened the fifth seal. This is kind of where we left off last week. He said, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. They were not willing to recant their testimony. They held it. The word martyr comes from the English word that we get, our word witness. These are people that were martyred. These were people that would not recant, that would not say that Jesus is not the only way. And so they became martyrs. Now, they cried in verse number 10, and there's been some confusion, and I don't have the answer to it, but I'd like to give you at least something to consider. In verse number 10, they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord? You know, some time ago I went through the book of Habakkuk, and I preached through the book of Habakkuk here at the church, and you may remember that's what Habakkuk's cry was. How long shall I pray and cry aloud, and thou wilt not hear me? I think if you've been saved for any length of time, that's probably been a similar prayer that you've had. God, I'm waiting on you to do something in my situation. How long? How long is it going to be? Scripture says here that these martyrs, these tribulation saints, I believe. Now, some people say, well, I believe that's this martyrs for all of time. I believe it's tribulation saints because of this statement right here. Look at it now. They cried, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? When I read that, I can't help but think these folks are still alive that they're going to be calling upon. And so it's pretty obvious that during the tribulation period, when people will not conform to the way of the Antichrist, when they will not receive the mark, or where they will not go along with the program, well, they're going to be called out and they're going to have a decision to make. Recant your faith, deny Jesus Christ, or die the death. The Scripture even tells, and I don't mean to be inappropriate or vivid here, but the Scripture says they're going to be beheaded for their testimony. And so, it's just going to be a very gruesome, devastating picture here on earth. So here is one of the responses. One of the responses is up in heaven, and there's these people that are crying something that we're not accustomed to hearing from people that have been forgiven of their sin. And that is, look at it, what they're saying. They cried with a loud voice in verse number 10, and they said, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? When are you going to vindicate us? That's not something that we were taught by Jesus. Jesus said, bless them that persecute you. Isn't that what he said? Pray for them. Oh, but you have to understand. See, the grace dispensation is over. This dispensation of the tribulation period is going to be the kingdom age. Read the Scripture. Jesus taught it. Actually, the book of the Revelation teaches it. We're going to get to that. In the next chapter, there's going to be some sealed missionaries, Jewish missionary evangelists, that are going to be preaching the gospel of the everlasting kingdom. The kingdom age is what's going to be preached. And so there's a different mindset here. And by the way, notice what they say. They say, we want to know that, and I don't know that they were doing this because of what happened to them or what could happen to those that are still here on the earth. Because notice the answer that they get in verse number 11. They ask this question, and whether you think it's fair or unfair, God doesn't have a problem with it for this group of people. Because here's what it says in verse number 11. White robes were given unto every one of them. Not one was left out. God never leaves his children out. Not one. Amen. White robes were given to every one of them, and it was said unto them, I like this, that they should rest yet for a little while. You know, as I was sitting at my desk one day, I don't know, it might have been Monday, I don't know when it was, it was one day this week, I think it was Monday, and I was reading over this, and I don't know, God just really helped me. Sometimes I can hear God say this to me, just rest a little while, you know, just leave it up to me. Don't be anxious. Quit wanting an answer right away. Let me do what I'm going to do. I know what's best. Just rest a little while, son. You ever heard God say that to you? Aren't you glad when God tells you that? Just rest a little while. I'm going to take care of it. You know, I haven't forgotten you. I haven't forgotten your situation. I don't know. Maybe there's somebody here tonight and you just need to hear that. That little bit right there that, you know, you just feel like, well, God, sometimes I feel like God has forgotten me. And though I'm not crying for God to avenge me or my blood, I'm wondering, is God hearing me and is God at work in my situation? I'm here to tell you, God is always at work in the situations of his children. God will never leave us nor forsake us. God never leaves us on our own. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know. But I know this, I know that God is always busy in the affairs of his children. And here's a group of people that died for him. And they said, Lord, when are you going to vindicate us? And the answer came back in verse number 11, just rest for a little season. And I like this next word, until. Amen. What a great word. That means that God is doing something, but he's going to do more. Hey man, you just rest a little bit. Just calm down a little bit. Until what? Well, he said, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Which means I'm going to do something. It's not when maybe you think it should be done. So you just rest and don't be anxious, but I'm going to do something. God always does, doesn't he? He always does. And so this was a response. Okay? Now, let me give you the other response, and I'll give you that third word. So here's the second word, okay? Response. Response. Here's the second response. The first response is from heaven. But now the second response is from earth. Brethren, when I read this, my mind just, I cannot fathom this. Look, if you would, at verse number 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal. Now remember, how many seals were there? Seven. All right? And I beheld when he opened the sixth seal. And lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. And the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Brethren, that's not your, listen, that's, I don't think there is a scale for this type of earthquake, the Richter scale. I don't think it would register on for this. God is literally going to shake this ball that we live on. Are you listening? I mean, the mountains are going to be out of place. The islands are going to be out of place. The stars are going to start colliding with Earth. The moon is going to turn black. Or the sun, I should say, has come black, and the moon is blood. The lights are going to go out. So, you got the picture? There's a false Christ who's ruling the world. There's been devastating war that has left the world crippled with famine and economic collapse and disease and pestilence. They're rationing food. People are desperate. Who knows what people will do? I'm telling you right now, I had a wise, aged man tell me many years ago, he looked me straight in my face and he said, I want you to know something, Brother Dale. Desperate people do desperate things. You say, well, that's kind of simple. The way he said it, I've never forgotten it. You don't know what a person will do until they get desperate. The world is desperate in this hour. And then God shakes this old earth and there's total darkness. The sun goes out, the moon goes out, the lights of heaven go out. There's meteorites, there's asteroids, there's stars colliding with Earth. What a catastrophe. What chaos. Insomuch, verse 15 says, this is the earthly response, that the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bond man and every free man. I think that would just about cover everyone. Hid themselves. I was reading after one man and he said, you know, in heaven they're saying, avenge us, Lord. And on earth they're saying, hide us from the Lord. They hid themselves in verse number 15 in the dens and the rocks of the mountains, and they said unto the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. You know, most people, I'm going to say this, I'm going to give you a word and I'll be done. Most people, verse 17 says, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? I'm going to answer that, no one. No one. No one. It's not a very good picture, is it? It's just not. So why would God do that? Because he's holy. And he's righteous. And he's just. Can I tell you that these people hate God. And when things like this happen, I'm going to get you turned to just a few scriptures. I challenge you to go through the book of the Revelation and trace this. Okay? Turn to chapter 9 and let's see what these people. Now, if you were being led by a false Messiah and you begin to realize something's not right with this guy, he's a liar, he's very inconsistent, there's something not right here with our world leader. Peace has been broken and all hell has broke loose on earth. Wars and there's famine and there's pestilence and there's hunger and there's economical collapse and there's inflation. And now the sun it refuses to shine. The moon, there's no light. There's darkness. There's collision of asteroids. And there's all these problems. And everybody is running and hiding and living literally like fugitives. What would be your response? You say, I don't know. You know, I don't either. But I don't think it would be this. Now, I don't know. Are you in chapter 9? Look at verse number 21. Well, go back to verse number 20. Chapter 9, verse 20 says, "And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders." This, I think, gives a little insight to what's going to go on when all of this begins to take place. "Nor of their sorceries," which when you look that word up, it's pharmakai. It's where we get our word pharmacy, of drugs. America is not only drunk, she's drugged. Our world is drugged. We have a pill now for everything. And I won't get into that. If you have to take medication, you have to take medication. I'm not a doctor, and so but I do know this. I know that we live in a drug society. I'm losing family member after family member to that sorry stuff. Many of you have too. And the scripture says, "Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts." I think it explains the route the society is going to go into when all these things begin to happen. But wait, there's more. That's just the tip of the iceberg. Look at chapter 16. Chapter 16, and we'll see that they're taking it out on God. "God, I can't believe you would do this to us. How could you do this? It's God's fault. It's not the devil's fault. It's not my drinking problem. It's not my drugs. It's not my wicked heart of unbelief. It's not my sorceries or my murders or my fornication or my thievery. It's not me. It's God's fault." Now listen, as a Christian, if you're not careful, if I'm not careful, we can fall into that same trap. And I don't want you to fall into that trap. Don't fall into that trap. Everything good about you and everything good going on in your life is because of the good grace of God. And most probably, if we'd just really evaluate and examine when the things are not going right and things have kind of gotten off center and sideways in our life, is because we put our hand on things that God told us to keep our hands off of and let Him handle it. In chapter 16, if you would notice, I'm just going to read just a few scripture, and I would like for you to read these along with me, okay? Look, if you would, in chapter 16. Let me find those scripture there. Look at verse number 8. "And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory." Look at verse 10. "And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seed of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds." Do you see a pattern forming here? Look, if you would, in verse number 18. "And there were voices and thunders and lightnings and a great earthquake, such as not since men was upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great." And the scripture says in verse number 20, "And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found, and there fell upon men a great hail out of the heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, and the plague thereof was exceeding great." So what happens when God says, "I'm going to shake the earth, I'm going to vindicate my son who I sent to the earth and you murdered and you said you wanted nothing to do with him. The great day of my judgment has come. I warned you to flee from the wrath to come and you would not accept my grace. You would not accept my love, my kindness, my tender mercies. And so the judgment of God comes. You know what man's going to do? In their puny little way, as we men do sometimes, they're going to shake their little puny fist toward heaven and blaspheme the name of God like that's going to correct things. You see how depraved we are? I said we. You see how depraved we are? Brethren, we're dark. And so this is going to happen. The good news is, if you're saved, you're not going to be a part of this. The bad news is, many, many hundreds of billions of people are going to be a part of this. That ought to break our hearts. It ought to help us to do what we can. Say, I can't reach a billion people. We'll reach who you can. Pray for who you can. Do what you can. I think of that woman as we stand to our feet. I think of that woman that came and anointed Jesus' feet with the ointment. Remember? And she wiped it with her hair. Remember what Jesus said about her? You remember? The people were saying, you know, hey, look at her. You know, what is she doing in here? And he said this. He made this statement about her. He says, she hath done what she could. What a great testimony. She hath done what she could. So if we're not careful, we'll think, well, I can't do this and I can't do it. We'll focus on what we can't do instead of what we can do. Just do what you can. You're probably not going to reach 1,000 people. Start with the person across the street, or that you meet at the convenience store, or that family member. You say, we do what we can. And so don't let a situation like this, because in chapter 7, the word for chapter 7 is revival. Okay? So in chapter 6, you had reckoning, and the great day of his reckoning is coming. And then there's response to that. But then in chapter 7, God says, okay, we're going to put these seals on ease. We're not going to the seventh seal. You won't open the seventh seal until chapter 8. Chapter 7 is kind of what we call parenthetical. It's just kind of a rest. And God says, I want to deal with people and get them the Word of God. I want to give them another opportunity. That's the God we serve. It's amazing. Go home and read it. You say, I've already read it. Isn't it wonderful that God would say, I want to send these 144,000 Jewish evangelists to preach the word. And a number that no man can number is going to be saved. Read it. It's amazing. I praise the Lord for that. I do. Well, let's bow our heads together.